Hello, lovelies. Welcome to the Fat Joy podcast, where we talk each week about how to flourish in an anti-fat world. I'm Sophia Apostle, a fat professional coach who loves talking to other fat people about what it's like to live within oppressive systems that marginalize our bodies and how we still dare to have the audacity and courage to reach towards our collective liberation and embrace our joy. Please know this is an adult content podcast, so there will be swears, we will be talking about harms we've experienced, and we will be rebelling against weight stigma, diet culture, fat phobia, ableism, racism, etc. You can get more Fat Joy goodness, including how you can support the podcast, through my newsletter at fatjoy.substack.com. And for episode transcripts, book reviews, and show notes, head to the Fat Joy website at fatjoy.life. I am so glad you're here. Enjoy this episode. Hello, lovelies. Welcome back to the Fat Joy podcast. I'm your host, Sophia Apostle, and I have before me two very sparkly, very fancy, very talented women. I have Annie Nardolilly, and Louisa Hall, and together they make up Grief Cat, which is how I found you both on TikTok and on Instagram. And I think the first video I saw of you was you were singing. It looked like an outdoor concert kind of event. You were on a stage singing about how, and you were in like very like sparkly, like rainbow kind of dresses, singing about how your bras had come off, so you were no longer leaving the house. And I was like, oh, me, seen, heard, attacked. Like, this is it. So I reached out to you and you beautifully said yes. So thank you for being here. I'm so excited to talk to you. You're both amazing. Welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I got you. We are so excited to be here. Obviously, I mean, we wore our finest attire, so...
Absolutely. Yeah. So people, if you're listening and not watching the video, before me, we have dresses that are kind of like a mock neck style, silver, sparkly silver with lots of black stars. And both Louisa and Annie are just doing a little shimmy for the people watching on YouTube. So you can imagine. It's so good. All right. So why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself? Louisa, do you want to start?
Sure. So hello, my name is Louisa, and I've been playing ukulele and playing music for about 10 years now, I think. And I'm from Northern Virginia, grew up here, never left except for 2 years in Reno, Nevada. And
classic.
Yeah. And Annie is my musical soulmate. So over to you, Annie.
Yes, I am Annie. We do use that term, musical soulmates. I think we probably use that from like way too soon in our relationship.
A little early, but it felt right, you know.
Also from Northern Virginia, I am the guitar player in Grief Cat, which means I have to lug around the heavier instrument, which I'm not bitter about ever. I've been playing guitar since fifth grade, writing songs since seventh grade. Obviously, we don't play those anymore because those are not the finest, but you have to start somewhere, right?
Absolutely.
Louisa is my musical soulmate. We both used to play solo, and then in 2019, we joined forces and came together, and I don't want to speak for you, but we would never play solo.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's horrible.
It's awful. We've tried it once or twice, and that's like, where is Annie?
Yeah.
Well, and when you guys sing together, it is so beautiful, the way you harmonize and just play off each other. And also the humor. I mean, I know it's music first, and you're both so musically gifted, and the way that you can infuse it with humor and social commentary and justice, I mean, it's just, it really is so rich what you do. And I love that musical soulmate. That's amazing. So do you have a meet cute?
Yeah.
We do.
A little bit.
Yeah. So in 2015, so we were both, as we mentioned, singer-songwriters, and we were both invited to play a variety show called the Capital City Showcase. And so it was like a mixture of like comedians. Sometimes there would be like improv, sometimes there'd be a little music. So we were the two musical acts of the night. And I had a song called Barista Boyfriend.
And I had a song called Hot Park Ranger. And so we were both writing songs about hot men with jobs.
Yeah. So we were like, whoa, we're the same. And I gave her a ride home that night and we became friends. And then we just kind of kept seeing each other like around the singer-songwriter circuit in DC. And sometimes we like joked about like becoming a band. And everybody would be like, oh my gosh, if you know Narda Lily, you're going to love Louisa Hall and vice versa. And eventually we just decided to do it. And so we decided to become Grief Cat.
Amazing. Oh, I love that. And then tell me about the name Grief Cat. Where did that come from?
So we decided that Grief Cat was going to be our band name when we were playing this music venue in DC called the 930 Club. And I told Annie this story. So do you know the German word or concept of Kummerspeck? Have you heard that before?
No.
So it means grief bacon, or the weight that you gain from emotional eating. And so like it's a German word. And so we decided that. So Marvin, my cat, who that's probably a security question.
Oh, right. I just want to get inside your bank account. That song.
So my cat is the cat I got after a breakup. So that was my grief cat that I had gotten. So that's where we came up with the name Grief Cat.
And I didn't even really like cats that much at the time. I just was like, that sounds great. That's our band name. And now I have become a feline phenomena. in my own right, I love cats so much. So I also kind of acquired a grief cat of my own this year. I had a friendship breakup and I have a cat. I have a grief cat too.
You do have a grief cat. I never even realized that. That's the point. Yeah.
So.
And it's the best. They just add so much to your life.
Absolutely. Oh.
You don't need to take them outside. She does, but you don't need to.
But she's so cute on her leash.
I know.
Oh, it is cute to see cats on leashes outside.
Yeah. I won't allow it.
So let's talk about the word fat. What's your relationship to the word fat? What has your journey been with the word fat? And just for a little bit of context, I mean, when I saw your videos, you are two, I would say fat women, I don't know if those are words that you use to describe yourselves. Yeah. But you are wearing bold clothing, short clothing, proudly, visibly, with gorgeous voices, like just owning the stage. You are so visible. And that is something that a lot of people who are plus size or fat really struggle with. And so when I saw your videos, I was like, oh, I have to talk to these two. Because I wanted so much to share that journey that you, I imagine, both have gone through to get to the point of, oh, I am owning this fucking stage and I'm going to do it with sparkles and glitter and like the incredible voice that I have and your intelligence too, because all your songs are so clever. So tell us a little bit about that. Like how did you get there? What's your journey been with being good in your own bodies?
I mean, it's definitely a journey. I don't know that I have like a specific story or narrative that around it. I mean, I grew up fat. I've always been fat. And I think this is the body that I have. I think growing up, you know, you have that thinking that, you know, if only I was thinner, like, you know, I'd have a boyfriend or a partner, or like my life would be better. Or I'd have more opportunities, or, but I've just never really wanted my body to hold me back from doing anything that I wanted. And now I'm kind of at a point too, where like, I think I'm hot as hell. I love my body. It's functional. Like I've run a triathlon in this body, and I've also been on the couch for, you know, years on this body, and I can dance and I can sing and it's fun and I love it. And I've always loved fashion, and the fact that now there's at least some options out there that are a little bit more accessible. You know, you still see a lot of people in the same outfits, but you can find a lot more things now. Why not be out and shine and live your life? That's kind of the position that I think I've gotten to. And I think another struggle that I've had that I don't know if it's tied in with, you know, with my fatness and everything, because now this is a therapy session, is I think I always struggled with, you know, thinking that I wasn't lovable. And I think a lot of that was tied to my body in the past. And I know now that I am lovable and I am deserving of love and I am deserving of space. And yeah, so I'm going to be out there and be myself and have fun and meet other people and live joyfully.
Yeah, that's amazing. I want to actually, if I can ask a follow-up question of Louisa, and then I'm going to come to you, Annie. Yeah. Louisa, how long ago did you, was it like recently? Did it happen when you were younger where you were like, no, I'm actually going to like rebel against everything I see and have been told and just kind of like be in my body and believe in my own worthiness and lovability? Like, is this something that was recent? Has it been a little while?
I mean, I think it's been waves, honestly. It's been up and down. Like, I was on my first diet when I was 8 years old. Like, that's when I first saw a dietitian. And, you know, I've had like very strong diet culture around me. I'm easily the fattest person in my family. And, you know, it can be really hard to maintain self-worth in that kind of environment when everyone is trying to fix you your whole life. I know a lot of people have that experience of being like paid per pound and all that kind of stuff. And everyone is so well-intentioned. So like, you don't want to make them feel bad. Or people want to talk to you about, oh, I'm doing keto now, or I'm doing this diet or whatever. And it's so hard not to internalize that and be like, you're saying that you just don't want to look like me and that you don't respect me and all of those things that you kind of interpret. And especially like with dating too. I mean, oh my gosh, like that has been just a journey that I think a lot of us have gone through in life, where even like you date people who they want to go on dates with you and like, well, they want to go on dates with you in quotes at home, but they don't want to go out in public with you or introduce their friends and things like that. And that's, I just don't want to deal with that anymore.
And you don't have to.
And I don't have to. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to. I can opt out. And I don't know if that really answered your question. That was just kind of a...
No, it does. It does. Yeah. I love that you highlighted the journey of it. For some people, there's like a moment where they just like know it's time to break free. For others, it is a little more like up and down and coming and going from it. And yeah, I'm always just really curious about how people, how that path has been navigated, because it's not the same for everybody.
Yeah. And I do think that having like podcasts like this, podcasts like Maintenance Phase, like the things that you read, having access to those materials and like seeing other people in similar bodies just out living and enjoying life, that's been really influential for me and helpful for me in my own journey as well. Because I'm not alone.
No. And now you guys are both inspiring others, which is incredible. Yeah.
That is amazing to think about. Yeah. I honestly haven't really thought about that. So that's really lovely to
influencers.
Hear.
Influencers.
Yeah. Yeah, we're kind of a big deal here.
Annie, what about you? What's your journey been like?
Definitely a journey as well. I think a lot more recently have I gotten comfortable with describing myself as fat. And I don't know if it's always my go-to word still. Mainly because proportionally there are some things that I do still wear straight sizes and do wear plus sizes. And so I kind of still feel like in between worlds, if you will, but definitely leaning towards accepting, I don't know, the fat community is just way cool.
Yeah, true.
But I also, I think, very recently, so in 2021, I went through a divorce. And pretty typical for people who have gone through divorces, I lost a lot of weight and very fast. And I remember seeing a family friend, and of course they said, you know, oh wow, what are you doing? Like, you look great. And of course the answer is like, I'm miserable. I want to die. Like, I can't eat because I am so nauseous with grief. I'm exercising because I can't be in my brain for very long sitting still. And then you know, I went through therapy. I got on medications where weight gain was a side effect, but like the best medications in the world. I found a partner now that is just like, food is just so, it's so comfortable to eat around them and talk about. Oh, and side note, my ex-husband was also like very, very, very insecure, you know, no shade to him, but like very insecure, and used the gym and used his diet to really like deal with his own insecurities about his body. And that sort of bled into me and my relationship. So now, not having to deal with that and being on the other side of my divorce, I have recognized like when I'm currently at my healthiest and my happiest by far that I've been in years. I mean, since like 2016 years, and I'm at my heaviest by far. I've never been at this weight before. And why would I give up being happy and healthy for being smaller? And why can't I also just use the word fat? Because I can see that. I know what I look like. It's definitely been a very recent acceptance of that word. Like I said, I don't think it would be my go-to all the time, first and foremost, but it's definitely not something I would shy away from. Or like if someone calls us fat in the comments on our videos, I'm like, yes. Yeah. correct.
Yeah. I nailed it.
I'm glad you have, I don't know.
Eyes.
Yeah. that's the other thing. I think we've talked about this. I was recent when we started making videos on the internet, we definitely got a lot of comments about our bodies, and we definitely, you know, tried to delete things or block people because they were making us feel uncomfortable or insecure. And then I had this revelation one day watching a video of Dolly Parton, and she was just like, everything anyone's going to say about me, I already know. So like the joke isn't there because I know what I look like. I know what I sound like. I know what I act like. Like there's no bite to that, because it's not an insult, because it's what it is. I don't know. So once I sort of got in that mindset and sort of gave that, you know, talked to Louisa about that. Now we go into the comments section and we are very positive. Like we don't really attack people. Our fans attack people.
Yeah, they do.
Sometimes it's like, that's not the way we want to respond.
Yeah, look at your wife. Like that's the worst one.
No, that's not how we're going. But now we are like a lot more positive in the comment section, and or just like matter of fact, like I said, like taking the bite out of these things that used to be insults. But once you accept that this is what I look like, I am fat, and
and that's been so helpful for my mental health, because I know when we were, because before I was trying to like catch all of them because I didn't want Andy to see them. So I'd like try to catch all of them and delete and block people as soon as I could. And I was reading all of them. And for a while I was kind of feeling bad about myself. And then Annie kind of had this realization, and then it almost turned into a game. So like, I look forward to seeing the horrible like shit that people write on our wall. Cause I'm like, how can we respond? Like, you know, one person was like, these girls must drop warships. Cause everyone comments on how big our poop is or must be. And like, I was like reporting for duty. Or another guy is like, your shit must weigh 37 pounds. And we just write 38. And so now it's kind of fun.
And inspired a song, Fat People Poop the Same as You.
Yeah, which is a good thing.
People can also drop a giant deuce.
They can. It's That's science.
Rhyme of the century.
Rhyme of the century. Love being a creative with you.
Songwriting.
Oh my gosh. I love how Dolly Parton inspired that mindset shift.
We love Dolly.
Right. You should write Dolly and tell her that story.
I love this plan.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
That's amazing. I love that. That ability to just be like, yes, and that takes the bite away. You're right. Wow. So that's how you manage trolls. Cause I was curious about that. If there was a lot of, you know, that showing up. What about in person when you're live? Do you get hecklers and comments and stuff like that? I've always wondered how people deal with that.
There was a really bad one once for me that was terrible. So, and it was a day where like, I had actually like, I was trying to get back into running, and I had gone for a run that morning for like 2 miles. And I was really proud of myself. And I remember going to this show, and we were actually wearing those like sequin fringe, the sequin caftans that you saw, like the rainbow ones. And we played this show, and then people were obsessed with us. They loved us. Afterwards, we had all these people. But we had all these people like asking us for autographs, trying to get pictures with us. And it was like, just feeling like such a high. And this one guy comes up to me in the middle of that, and he's like, hey, can I give you some love? And like, he had his phone out, and I thought he was going to give us a tip because people were trying to pay us at the same time. And so I thought he was like trying to like connect our Venmo or something like that. And then, so I looked at it, at his phone, and he was a bariatric surgeon. And he, and I just immediately was like, oh, I'm not interested. Thank you. But he like kept persisting, and I just felt like a caged animal. And I just let him talk for a minute because he was persisting, even though I said no. So I just shut up so it would be over faster, which is terrible. And, he was like, you know, if you ever want to do this 100-pound lighter, I'd love to help you and blah, blah, blah. And it just, that just wrecked me. And like, and I even followed him at that point just to like make it go away. I like agreed. I was like, okay, I'll follow you. And like, and then I immediately told Annie about it, and she immediately just comforted me. And then we looked at the phone and just immediately blocked him together. But like that honestly wrecked me for a couple of weeks. Cause that's one of the first times that, and I've gained a lot of weight in like the last year. And that's one of the first times that I've had something like that actually happen in person. And that was rough. I hated that. And right when you're at your highest for somebody to do that.
This is the thing. This is what happens. Yeah. How did you recover? Like, how were you gentle with yourself? How did you move forward from there? You said it was a couple of weeks, which makes so much sense. So what do you, like, how did you do that?
You punched him in the face.
Yeah. I got arrested. I was thinking about it for a while in jail.
And would you like to reveal the name and address here? We can send people.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't even remember. So because we blocked him so fast, I guess we look up our block list. But I honestly, I think I just had to feel my feelings and get through it. I talked about it with Annie a couple times, talked about it with my boyfriend a couple times. And, you know, what's been really cool too, is that like a lot of my friends are like thinner and straight size. And I have like one of my text chains, I remember kind of just telling them like what I went through. Cause I think for me, talking things out is really helpful. And the fact that I had like so many like straight size friends being like, that is horrible, and just making me feel justified in how, because it was just violating more than anything. It was just, I felt so violated, and just getting that support from my friends was really helpful and just helped me remember like, no, he's the one who's wrong. It's not me that's wrong. He did something wrong. He violated a boundary. Even after I said no, like, what a terrible doctor.
I was just going to say, as if I could ever trust a doctor who did that.
Yeah. Like, can you imagine going to somebody's office and just saying like, by the way, you need to, you know, cut part of your body. Like, it's terrible. You need to go through this horrible thing just so you can, so people will listen to you more because you know how the industry is. Like, just awful. And so, yeah. So then you want me to also get surgery to, you know, get rid of loose skin and maybe tighten up my nose or, you know, get some filler, like, fuck off, dude. So I think friends really helped me get through it. Crying some tears helped me get through it. And just a little bit of time, I think, is what I needed to process it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That is a pretty harrowing story.
Yeah, it sucked. So, yeah.
Annie, have you had an experience with like someone in person before?
Not that I can remember. Mostly just I have joked about this with Louisa in the past, because we'll play a show and she'll notice like someone not smiling in the audience, and I just kind of zone out negative things, and I'm just la 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 on stage just thinking everybody loves us, because that's sometimes the energy. That's my Sasha Fierce, my persona I put on stage is I am great and everyone must love it.
So, which I do enjoy. I love that.
So if there have been negative comments said to me, well, A, they're all online. And if they were in person, I don't know if I can remember them Do you remember any trauma?
I don't remember any specific trauma, but like what I'm kind of thinking about is the fact that you don't suffer fools. Like if somebody is doing something shitty, I feel like you stand up to people, and you've also been like a really fierce defender of me in situations where, like, even if it's not about fatness, where like people just aren't treating me well or something like that, like Annie will just step in and set it straight. And I feel so lucky to have her as a friend.
That is a good friendship right there.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I have my version. I don't have a musical soulmate, but my best friend and I call each other our platonic wives. So my platonic wife is like that and has jumped in several situations when people have started to say things, and she saves me from doing the emotional labor of, you know, defending my body and engaging in conversations about, well, isn't obesity, blah, 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 a disease? And I'm like looking at this person going, oh my God, I'm going to either punch you and go to jail or, you know, and then she's just like right in there. She's like, actually, and she's straight sized and she just does it. And it's amazing when you have people like that to just get your back, so you're not the one always having to hold that and expend that energy for ourselves. It's just, yeah, that's amazing. Annie, I love that you're like the fighter. You're the Sasha Fierce.
Well, I think part of that energy comes from for 5 years, I was actually a cop. So I think there is some of that. Yeah. Bleep that.
I was up for the mystery.
So I think there is some energy that still resides in me that, you know, when I was a cop, I was probably like the gentlest. Shocker. I was very gentle and kind and very listening. But I definitely had like boundaries, and those boundaries are really hard. And so when someone crosses, and I'm very patient, and it's a very large boundary, but it's very firm. And so once that boundary's crossed, I definitely don't. I'm not very kind anymore.
I love that energy gets to come in when you need it, though, too. Like that's like, you know how to do that. You've built that skill set. This is the boundary. This is a hard no. And this is what happens if you push up against it. You know, that's pretty awesome. I feel like the rest of us spend, right? And I feel like the rest of us spend, at least myself as a people pleaser my whole life, I've spent the last decade trying to figure out, right? Yeah. Hi, Louisa. Me too. How to figure out boundaries, how to not just, you know, allow whatever someone else wants to say or do, right?
Yeah. It's hard. So it's been kind of funny because Annie has almost been unintentionally coaching me. The other day we were having a conversation where I was about to apologize for like having emotions. And I was like, wait, I don't need to apologize. And she's like, there you go.
That's the girl.
Yeah. Like not in a condescending way, but it was just, it felt good because she's helping me kind of get through that as a fellow recovering people pleaser, pizza pleaser. Pizza I also pleaser. Enjoy pizza. We please each other.
I feel like that might be a fun song. People pleaser, pizza pleaser. I feel there's something in there.
See what we can do. Tongue twister.
I will also say, I think I was just thinking about this in the car on the drive over here. I feel like my boundaries have also shifted in some ways, meaning I have, so when I was growing up, my family wasn't really like overtly, you know, didn't really fat shame me. I was also fat as a kid. But they were, I never had to go to Weight Watchers or saw a dietitian. There were just like a lot of subtle things that I picked up on. When your mom slices the smaller birthday cake, you're like, oh, and my brothers get the normal size. And it's my birthday. Okay. Aww. But I have married into a family where diets and diet culture and bodies are just like the constant topic of conversation. And I used to have like a really, really hard boundary. I feel like I learned this on maintenance phase of just being like, I don't want to talk about this. I will leave the room. I will say I don't want to talk about this. I will be very overt. And now it bothers me less or that boundary has gotten fuzzier, because now it's not, I'm not offended by that conversation. I'm just fucking bored.
Yeah, it's exhausting. Like, it's exhausting.
It's like, it would be like, I don't want to know what you eat, because I don't want to know your bodily functions unless I ask. I don't want to know how you wipe yourself. Like, yeah. You know, it's just like the most basic human thing that it's like, I don't really care, and I just find this boring, as opposed to like, I'm offended, or it's hurting some part of pride in me, or it's suddenly I'm thinking about my body. It's very recent that I've had this shift where it's like, no, I am actually not offended by this conversation. I don't want you to not have this conversation because it hurts me. I want to change the subject because I'm bored.
Yeah. I think going back to like the emotional labor of it, I think that is what kind of gets me, because I think a lot of times, like, you do have to do the emotional labor of like, oh, good for you, you know, and like when it comes to diet and things like that. And it's like, sometimes I just don't have the energy or the capacity for it. Yeah. And so one thing that I think I've gotten pretty good at is just being like, I don't have the capacity for this right now, just FYI. So like, if they start to kind of go into that topic, then we can kind of shift really easily. So I'm like, hey, I can talk about things, but I can't talk about that right now. And people tend to respect it.
Hello, lovely Fat Joy friend. Sophia here, and I have a request. Can you please subscribe to this podcast? And if you've already subscribed, can you please give me a 5-star rating? And if you've done that, could you please write a review of the podcast? I know, that's a lot of asks. But these actions help increase the profile of Fat Joy, which allows me to keep producing it. I'm so grateful. The Fat Joy podcast is one of the top 2.5% most popular shows out of the over 3 million podcasts globally. Totally amazing. And let's bring even more Fat Joy into the world by getting into the top 1%. So when you subscribe, rate, and review, you're helping do that. Thank you so much, and I appreciate you. Yeah, no, that's great. Well, it's another way of using our voices to like really create those boundaries and say what am I okay with and what am I not okay with? And I agree. I feel like the hard part is giving ourselves permission to say it. And then most people respect it, you know, and if they don't respect it, you know, maybe that's not someone we want to be hanging out with anyway.
I think we get a lot of practice singing it so much on stage that it has become a little easier to say it either privately or say it when we're together, because on stage we do call out people and we do make fun of people and we do own ourselves and can say things that we, you know, maybe otherwise wouldn't in a previous life.
Yeah.
But I feel like the more we say these things on stage, the more we really mean them and we're unwilling to shift into a different persona when we get off stage.
That is true. Like, I think that our stage persona does like kind of embolden us, and we carry a lot of that over into our daily lives. Because like when you're on stage, at least when I'm on stage, it's still me, but it's like me at like 11, you know? And so now I'm kind of at 11 all the time, and on stage I'm on 12, I guess.
I love that. Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I get that. I call that the full Sophia. Like,
oh, I love that. I love the full Sophia.
When the full Sophia shows up, you don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, that's really cool. And that brought your more full self into everyday life as well. That's so cool. I am really curious about like this industry that you're in. So you are brilliant singers. I imagine the answer is yes. You write your own songs. So you're singer-songwriters, you have created music videos, you are very much on social, gaining popularity, which I'm so excited about. I feel like I can see you both with like Bridget Everett, you know, doing like a little show. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Well, we follow her. She does not follow us back. I'll put that. But we can dream. All right.
We keep tabs.
We keep tabs. Like, is she following? No.
Yeah.
Dreams.
and you're in this industry that does really privilege, you know, there's a lot of diet culture in this industry. Appearance is everything, the kind of thin ideal, all of this stuff. Is that something that you think about, or you just focus on doing your thing? Like, does that come into your world very much?
So we were talking about this a little bit the other day. And I feel like I had heard RuPaul talk about this once as well. And, you know, big Drag Race fan. So I think that growing up, we probably did have, you know, and on and off throughout lives, like you do have like body shame and shame about, you know, being fat. And what we're realizing now is I think that that's kind of becoming more of like a superpower for us. Like that is part of our perspective, part of our voices, part of who we are. And I think that, and it's also like helping us find community as well, which is really powerful. And so
68% of people are fat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So 68% of humanity, that's our new goal. Following us on Instagram. All right, let's go.
Sorry, people.
Yeah, get out. Just kidding. We love everyone. Yes. Oh my gosh. So that was a really intense guttural voice. But I think that like part of what we were so afraid of or shameful of in the past, like now we're just kind of bringing that forward and to the center. And I think that that's becoming a source of joy and power in our lives.
And I think it really does resonate, especially with fat members of the audience. Well, I don't know if they would identify, but certainly people come up to us after the show. I think they're super glad that we carry, you know, extended sizes in our merch. I think they're particularly excited to see people like us on stage. And that is just so special and validating and, yeah, something that other people would consider a weakness. We're just really seeing it as a strength. So absolutely. Should our career continue to blossom, and I would hope that any sort of, I don't know, record executive or whoever would kind of recognize and acknowledge that their weight doesn't have to go anywhere, because
it's part of who we are.
Part of who they are and how they're kicking ass.
Yeah, tenacious double D's.
Yeah.
Yeah, more like an H, but still. So we can keep this title for a while, is what I'm saying, no matter what happens.
Oh, I love that so much, that this gets to be your superpower. It gets to be what sets you apart. And yeah, I mean, it's what drew me to your posts. And it was like, oh, that's what you're doing. You are inspiring people who look similar to you to be bold. Like, oh, it can be on stage in like a rainbow fringe muumuu. What could I do? You know, like that's exciting. That's exciting. Yeah.
And I wish I had that when I was a kid. I mean, yeah. I really wish I did. Cause I'm just trying to think like what, you know, you're always looking for like examples as a kid and like, I don't know. There wasn't a whole lot.
Yeah.
I can't think of any.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what made me think of this, but like the stores that were really popular when I was a kid, the fact that they now have plus sizes is amazing. But I'm like, man, if only I had that opportunity when I was in middle school to like buy a pair of jeans at Abercrombie, I would have lost my shit.
Hard same. All I wanted.
And
I remember like squeezing in because they had a pair of sweatpants, but they like weren't really stretchy. And I just was like, oh, I can wear them.
I feel that so hard. But yeah, to have a role model too, I don't think existed in our youths.
Yeah, I used to listen to a lot of like Mama Cass and Ella Fitzgerald because it's all I could get, you know. I had to go back how many years, you know.
Deep cut, Mama Cass.
Yeah, deep cut. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. And you're right about the fashion. Can we talk about clothing?
Oh yes, please. That's one of our favorite parts.
Was there a decision, or was it just kind of natural that, oh, amazing clothing will be part of our mystique, our ensemble? It will be a whole other like presence on stage. How did that come about?
And that was a progression, because so what happened?
These were the first dresses.
These were the first matching dresses that we ever had. Very yeah, exactly. So this is exciting for us to wear them again because we haven't worn them in a long time. So originally when we started as a band, we would always have like a theme for our outfits. So we were trying to figure out themed things. So like, I remember we had one that was like a dinosaur theme. So Annie had like a dinosaur shirt and I had a dinosaur dress. And then we'd have another set of outfits that we had. We called Autumn Leaves because I had a dress with leaves on it, and Annie had another one with leaves. I don't know why I remember these right now. I don't remember other outfits. But anyways, I was trying things on at Eloquy, and I saw these two dresses on the sale rack, and I was like, this is happening. I think they were like $16 or something like that. And I bought them. They fit us. And this was actually the first show. Did we get these for, we got them for our album release because we were going to wear matching outfits at our album release, mm-hmm. which was
COVID.
So it was like April 2020. And so we had to cancel the show. So we had like a early fall show. I think it was like my birthday.
Outdoors.
Early fall outdoors. And we wore these outfits for the first time out in the moonlight, just shining like stars. And we just never went back because we just loved it so much. So we had white cowboy boots, black tights, and these dresses, and we've just been matching ever since, and we love it.
We joke, you know, a lot of bands spend money on gear and all these like very important things, and all of our money until very recently, I feel like.
Until very recently.
We must have some new outfits, and it's like, wait, my guitar doesn't work anymore. Yeah. I need to know.
We're like holding our instruments together with like tape and string. And
but like, where's the sponsorship?
Yeah. We have three cables that we do like a terrible job wrapping. We have a looper that we don't know how to use. So we unplug it and plug it back in.
If we make a mistake
on stage, it's very professional, I promise.
But that's the Grief Cat way.
But
like,
it's fun.
Yeah.
Like when we're together, like part of what's so fun about Grief Cat is that if we mess up, if we say something stupid or like miss a lyric, like it's on brand because we're just having a good time. Mm-hmm. And people, I think like if you're having a good time on stage, people are going to have a good time in the audience. And I think that that really happens with Grief Cat.
Yeah. And the fact that we wear great outfits like only just boosts our stage presence.
Oh, absolutely.
Excitement to these shows.
Good job bringing it back.
Yeah.
And people also really enjoy the outfits. So a lot of the comments we get are about lyrics, but a lot of comments we get are like, oh my gosh, where did you get those outfits? We get that in person. We get that online. We get DMs about it. Mm-hmm. It's like a big part of Grief Cat now.
Absolutely. Yeah. And do you have sponsors? Like how are you doing this?
Eloquy.com.
Yeah.
Eloquy. Anyone from Eloquy listening, you want to support these two?
We don't have a lot of sponsorships. I think the one that we do have, we did get a couple pieces from Wild Gardenia Boutique. So like in our recent video, Crypto Bro, we have these kind of denim jackets with rhinestone fringe. And those were a gift from Wild Gardenia Boutique. And then
we would love in the future to like, that's a small woman-owned business.
Small woman-owned business.
And we'd love to continue to work with, you know, a big, big brand doing all of our outfits would be, you know, very cool and exciting.
Yeah.
But definitely small scale promotion is definitely what we're super into.
Yeah.
I think we're courting some people right now. Anyone from the Plus Bus, if you're listening. which is a plus size, like vintage thrift group in LA.
Yeah.
Which I just love everything that they put online.
And I think we've sent at least 100 people to like Fringe and Company at this point.
Yeah.
Although we just got really great caftans from Lauren of Palm Springs too. So there's just a lot of, but I mean, we purchased these things.
Sponsor us.
Yeah. Sponsor us. We actually have a song called Sponsor Us.
And we just like use a bunch of slogans to put a sexy love song together.
The entire song is slogans, the entire things.
So like a, yeah.
It's pretty great. But yeah, so one sponsor.
And are you like signed? I don't know a lot about the music industry. So this is the two of you doing everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just the two of us doing everything. So, like we have a videographer that we really like working with, named Carter, and he's wonderful. And we basically have ideas and we find the shoots. Or I'm sorry, we find the location, we get the outfits, we find extras, whatever we need. And then he shows up and just makes it really beautiful.
And same with the recording studio. We work with a guy named Ben Green at Ivacoda in mm-hmm. Washington, D.C., who is phenomenal.
He's incredible.
Just an outstanding, he takes us seriously as musicians, not just like funny people. So the songs sound so good because he's treating them just like any other song. Mm-hmm. And he, but also like has great comedic timing and knows what would sound great and all that stuff.
But it's never cheesy.
It's never cheesy. Yeah. It's just outstanding. Yeah. So, but like we pay him out of pocket. We pay the instrumental people other musicians.
We get like these incredible musicians that we find like either friends or recommendations from friends or our producer. And so like, we'll be like, let's just make the most expensive song about poop ever recorded.
Yeah.
And it's like stunning.
They love it. They're people who like, you know, they play serious music in like the, what was it, like Army Navy band. And now they get to come to a studio and it's like,
lay horns down
on this, you know, song about, I don't know, benevolent billionaires. Like, yeah. It's just fun.
It's fun. And another, so going back to the sponsorship question too, like for people that we work with, there's another partner that we have. And so Sean Schaffner of the Poop Project, People's Own Organic Power. And I found them on Instagram and we've just become really good friends. And we put on like an annual World Toilet Day event in November called Lou-Aid.
But that is definitely, we are a DIY band.
Completely DIY. We do everything ourselves. So Annie runs point on all of the social media. And then I'm the one that like replies to everybody for the most part because I just love it. but we pay for everything ourselves. We figure everything out. Pretty much all the money that we pull into Grief Cat goes back into Grief Cat at this point. Mm-hmm. Because we're in that growth phase still.
Yeah. And do you travel and do shows? Is that kind of how it works? You go to different places? And so is this what you do? Do you have other jobs as well? Because I imagine it's not inexpensive to do all that with travel and all the other pieces.
Yeah. So I currently work as a senior program manager at a tech company. So that really helps quite a lot. And I work from home, which is really flexible. And so it's pretty nice.
And I do a lot of pet sitting.
Which is awesome.
Which is great. You know, great hourly rate. And I, up until this week, pretty much, I was working at a company that makes leather watch straps. So I like sew and cut leather and paint and fill out orders, but they're moving headquarters and I need to find another job. So sponsor us,
please. Because I imagine the dream is to take this like all the way, right?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Absolutely. That's the dream. 100%. This is like my life's purpose. I love it.
Yeah. So also, as was mentioned probably earlier, that, you know, our songs do have like a social justice component to them. We try and speak about issues. We do rag on capitalism a lot. So don't, if you're listening to this and you're like, these girls just don't get it. Yeah. We totally understand. We are operating in the system the best way we know how. And hopefully that means we can make the world better for everyone else once we have our own money.
Yes. Once we become billionaires, we're actually benevolent.
Actually,
we will actually be the benevolent billionaires. The other day, we were driving, and I was just,
oh yeah,
I had like, I wasn't feeling great, and I was, you know, I was a little feverish, and I was like, man, it'd be really cool to have private jets. I wouldn't need to worry about like fitting an airplane seat.
And I was like, we literally have a song about carbon footprints and how terrible jets are. So like we can't really do that.
Yeah. But it's scary.
But and then energy we came to an agreement. We were like, okay, first class
by carbon offsets.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We've never flown first class before. So again, sponsor us.
We just want wide seats.
We just want wide seats, please. Yeah, my hips need it.
So let's talk about your songs because they are amazing and hilarious. And what was the first one that you created together? Do you remember it?
Oh, we know what the first song was. Mm-hmm. So it's called Egg Roll, aka the vaccine song. And the reason, and we wrote this in 2019. It was the first rehearsal we ever had.
So 2019 before 2020.
Before, yes. Pre-COVID. And so we were eating these just modern egg rolls that were like stuffed with like macaroni and cheese and broccoli and things. And they were very delicious. And they'd just been sitting out for a while. And I was like, I can't eat this. Annie, do you want the rest of my egg roll? And what did you say?
And I was like, I don't want that. It's going to give me measles.
Yeah.
Sitting out for so long. And then this song just exploded out of us about making fun of folks. We are both believers in vaccines. And so we were kind of
poking fun
at folks who are less keen on them. And that was our first song, and we were very excited about it. And then 2020 happened, and we were like,
we can't play this.
Funny right now.
It may not be funny for a while. That has to go in the vault.
Sometimes it gets funny again, and then we're like, oh, we can't do this for a while. Oh, we can't do this again.
Yeah.
It's really been up and down.
But it really did like set the tone again for we wouldn't be able to do this solo. Like,
never.
We were only able to write that song and kind of touch on a touchy topic because we were able to do that together and be brave together and be like, if we get people after the show who are like, screw you, it's like, well, that's okay, because I have a partner next to me that knows who I am, knows how my heart is, and knows that we're funny and also we like science.
Yeah. And I also think too, it's like, so we're getting bolder not only in our lyrics, but also going back to the outfits too. I think that I wouldn't wear things that are quite as flamboyant if I didn't have a twin right next to me who's taller with curlier hair. So like, because it's like part of a show and the razzle dazzle, and we kind of get to do it together.
And I wouldn't wear these outfits because I can't afford them. Again, operating in the system.
Yeah. Trying our best.
Oh, do you have a favorite song?
Ooh, no one's ever asked us that before.
That's juicy. You go first.
Oh, gosh. I was going to say you go first.
Okay. On the same time, one, and we'll see if it's the same or not. One, two, three. Oh, cheaters, cheaters, cheaters.
Children.
I would say it also fluctuates.
It does. It does change a lot.
A lot of times the newest song will be the most exciting song for us to perform. And then the energy bleeds into the audience and then they give us great feedback. So at different points in our career, different songs have been definitely our favorites. I'd say right now mine is probably the Bra song because it's just so different than anything else. For those who are less familiar with the song about, again, I already took off my bra, but we write a lot of acoustic songs. We've played a punk rock song. We have a country song. We definitely bend the genres. Mm-hmm. But this is our first dance song and we are so excited to record it in the studio. But it is the first time like we've used a looper. It's the first time that we're really like just going at it.
Going
on stage.
For it.
We have like a cha-cha slide-esque dance number at the end. That's a group dance. So it's really very exciting and we are definitely still figuring it out. It is not always on beat when we play it.
Yeah.
sometimes the looper, we have to start over. It's
Annie'll hit a button that like puts this weird drum beat over it. And we're like,
no, sorry. So I think that's still exciting. It's still being polished. So it's still very new and shiny. And that's definitely probably my favorite right now.
That's definitely a favorite one to play. I think one that I really love to sing is Crypto Bro, because that's a song that Annie primarily wrote. And, but it's one where I don't always, historically, I wasn't always able to kind of use like my full vocal range with Grief Cat. And with this one, I really get to belt, which I find really, really fun.
I was really nervous. I think it was the first time like I had just written a song pretty much all on my own, and I gave it and I really loved it. It's so Crypto Bro is a song making fun of
crypto bros.
Shocking. Very literal.
Yeah, very literal.
And it's a country song, kind of a country ballad breakup song. Mm-hmm. I wrote this song kind of on my own. Actually, Yeah.
We were like toying with the concept, and then you went away and you just brought it.
I was in the car listening to Olivia Rodrigo, and I was like, I just had this, oh, that's the song is done in my head. I presented it to Louisa, and the thing is, like, I love to sing, but I can't, I don't have a belty kind of voice. And I was like, this song needs just like big country belt kind of thing. And it was really scary because I was like, if Louisa doesn't want to sing this, then this song just goes, you know. But thankfully, Louisa was like, this is the shit. And she has the pipes to pull it off. And I just get to harmonize in the background. And it's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it changes so fun.
Yeah.
Well, and the music video, speaking of kind of all the other pieces that you pulled together, the music video is gorgeous. Like that farm that you're on, and there's like animals and you're like feeding them. I'm like, this is just so delightful. Everything about it is delightful.
Yeah, that was a lucky break because that was my friend. So I've got a close friend from high school named Mina, and she and her husband have a farm that they actually rent on Airbnb called Frolic Fields, and they let us use it. They reserved a day just for us so we could get in there and shoot. I think the goat's name was Spaghetti. And they also call him the host because he like welcomes the guests. So that was just...
Lucky.
There's a lot of poop, but it was lovely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely lovely. And she's an artist too, so it was great.
That's amazing. And is your most popular song the Pooping at Work song?
I'd say yes.
I think
on the internet,
Based on like views on Instagram reels, and I think it's probably our highest viewed one on TikTok YouTube too, and TikTok.
Yeah,
I don't know. But yeah, it's definitely our most popular on the internet. I don't think it is our most popular live, though.
I agree.
Yeah.
What do you think is our most popular live?
Right now, I think the bra.
Just gets people going.
Yeah.
I mean, if you wanted to like sing a little bit, you totally could.
We just got a lot of listeners being like, no. But I mean, we can do the chorus. We can do the chorus.
I already took off my bra. I already took off my pants. I'm not putting my clothes back on. No, not a chance. I'd rather be at home than out on a butt crawl. You can say that I'm no fun. It doesn't bother me at all. I already took off my bra.
Yay! Oh my God, I love it so much. I cannot wait to see the whole dance number and the whole thing you're going to put together for this. It's going to be so good.
No, we need choreography help because right now it's just us and we're like, what are dance moves?
Stomp your foot.
Like be a chalk outline at a crime scene. We're working on it. Any favorite dance moves out there, just let us know. We need your help.
My favorite is we tell the audience, give us a compliment. And then they, you know, it's a whole jumble of words. And we're just like, just tell us we're pretty. None of this musical stuff.
Yeah.
None of this. You're a hard worker.
Yeah. You've got a great personality. Yeah. Although one thing, so going back to songs, that's really interesting that I think a lot of people don't know is that we didn't start out as comedic singer-songwriters. So we used to do what we call the mixed of sillies and saddies. And so we kind of primarily did like the silly songs, but we do have like a couple saddies or more serious songs too.
And they're just as beautiful.
And they're beautiful. I mean, like the ones that we have on our first album are gorgeous. And like Annie wrote another one recently that's just one of the most stunning things I've ever heard. I love it. I'm obsessed. So there's that part too, but we don't really perform those as often because I mean, for me, it's almost too vulnerable. I don't like it. We've always felt more comfortable, I think, singing like the funnier songs versus the serious songs.
I also feel like there's plenty of folks out there who make serious music right now. And one of the best compliments we get after a show is, you know, you guys were like a breath of fresh air. The best one is like, I haven't laughed that hard in months. Yeah. And it's like, that is a really special gift that I don't know if we want to give up. I think in the future, if we had, you know, hour and a half set at Madison Square Garden, we can play, our sad songs and do the emotional roller coaster.
And the sweeties.
The sweeties, yes. Yeah. But for now, just leaning into the funnier songs, I think has just been I don't know, just great response from the audience and great for us. We have fun.
Well, and it's powerful too, because like we've heard from people both like at live shows as well as like on the internet who have been like, I couldn't get out of bed today, or I've been having a really hard time and I lost somebody, and this is the first time I've been able to laugh in months or weeks. And like those kinds of things are really, really powerful. And that's when I really feel like what we're doing is making a difference, which is, I never thought that just being like our silly amplified selves and just, you know, doing what we do could make a difference, but it actually does. And it's really meaningful.
This is the thing that I don't think we understand fully as humans until you tap into it, like you just described, is that when we are fully most authentic, that is when we have the most impact on others. But we have so many things stopping us and getting in the way of our authenticity that we have to spend decades like peeling layer by layer by layer to maybe finally arrive somewhere where we can have that desired impact. And I feel like what you just said, Louisa, is perfect. That's exactly what both of you are doing and experiencing and giving to others. Like, what a gift to bring joy to others. Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well, and that leads into the final question, which is always about joy. So you bring so much joy to others. What brings you joy? Annie, what brings you joy?
So I think joy is very different from happiness. Like happiness, I can feel happy eating a solid piece of pizza. To me, that's not joy. Joy is something that you can experience. I feel like I experience joy when I'm in the right place at the right time, when I feel like I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. And that could mean I have felt joy and sadness at the same time, because it has felt like I'm supposed to be there, whether that's, you know, I am a religious person, so it is kind of informed with my faith, but also just like everyone has a journey that they know their narrative story, and they can feel joy knowing, just like feeling content in a struggle, right? And so for me right now, as I mentioned earlier, I'm at my heaviest, but I'm at my healthiest, I'm at my happiest, I'm at my most joyful for sure. And I know that's because I'm with Grief Cat. I'm performing the songs I was always meant to perform, or that, you know, just bring me to life. I'm making a difference in other people's lives or their emotional experiences. I have a partner who's the most supportive, just a joy to be around. I have work that is edifying me as opposed to making me want to bash my head on a wall like being a cop was. So all these experiences, again, I feel joyful because I feel like I'm doing what I am either meant to do or just very highly well geared to do. From like a non-religious perspective, it just feels like all of my best traits are being channeled in the best possible outlets.
That's beautiful.
So
yeah. I'd like to say everything that Annie just said. And then I'm going to add in vampire related media. I just got a pair of sparkly Twilight earrings for my birthday. That was really cool. Edward, it's great. Team Edward. I agree. Like just kind of doing what we're supposed to be doing, like getting to spend time with Annie on stage, singing, performing, like connecting with people and feeling that community, I think community is a big thing that brings me joy, whether that's like people we meet through Grief Cat, having that community with Annie, having the community with my family, with my partner, all of that, like with my coworkers, and I've got a lot of really wonderful friends. So I'd say that, and then also coffee.
Yeah.
Living on purpose, coffee, vampires.
So a side note, since I did just sprinkle it into that conversation, you know, not only are we like fat ladies, not only are we wearing sparkly things, not only is this an ex-cop and a tech
lady.
but we also describe ourselves as your favorite Mormon atheist duo.
Yeah.
So we just like to add layers. We're just for everybody. You can find yourself in Grief Cat.
So many options.
Your size, your beliefs, your vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're here to cheer everybody on.
We're here to cheer everybody on.
We believe in you. Go have a joyful day.
Oh my gosh, I love that. And that's the perfect end. Go have a joyful day. I love it. You two are deeply, deeply delightful. I am so honored to be able to talk to you. And I'm so excited to watch where you go from here, because it's going to happen. There's no doubt. You are incredible. So thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Oh, we're thank so you. Glad.
What a treat. This has been amazing. This brought us joy right here. This.
We were supposed to be here.
Mm-hmm. So. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Before we go, I'd like to read a poem, because poetry can reach our hearts in a different way. Poems can have us feel in a different way. And that's what this podcast is all about. Expanding our hearts, deepening our empathy, and inviting in joy. So each week, you get a new poem. All right. So for this episode, I really had to honor the brilliant irreverence of Annie and Louisa. So I chose this poem by Chen Chen called I Love You to the Moon and. Not back. Let's not come back. Let's go by the speed of queer zest and stay up there and get ourselves a little moon cottage. So pretty. Then start a moon garden with lots of moon veggies. So healthy. I mean, I was already moonlighting as an online moonologist most weekends. So this is the immensely logical next step. Are you packing your bags yet? Don't forget your Sailor Moon jean jacket. Let's wear our Sailor Moon jean jackets while twirling in the lighter, queerer moon gravity. Let's love each other so good on the moon. Let's love the moon on the moon. Thank you for joining me today. My hope is that you're feeling a little less alone and a little more seen. So until the next episode, you can find me on Instagram at fatjoy.life, on YouTube at youtube.com/@fatjoy, and on Substack at fatjoy.substack.com. And please do check out the episode notes for how you can connect with my amazing guest and for the links to the poem. All right, lovely. I am sending you off with my best wishes for an abundantly fat joy day. And we'll talk again soon.